It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.
Now, Will from the newsroom has come back into the studio. Normally, he tests our news knowledge. You can hear him on the hour every hour, Jess.
Yeah, and he also has a life outside of the radio, Tim.
Shocking. Thank you. Journalists
I do.
Can live.
I do. Yeah, I have a personality and everything.
Now, you were telling us just something genuinely incredible. I'm so surprised you got out of this.
I was only half listening when you were talking, Will, because I was working at the time.
We would, like, for context, we were within 1 meter of each other and Jess didn't pick
That's
this
more
up.
Of me. I like moseying on over while you guys are working hard.
But then at some point, Tim said, shut up, this is going to go on the show. And I went, oh, well, it's a good thing I didn't listen then.
Well, minor backstory, if I'm allowed. So a piece of my car was missing. So it flew off recently and I ordered a new part in.
Yep.
And I was putting it on last night. I was putting it back on my car. It finally
he's
arrived.
He's also a mechanic.
Well, so this is a thing. So this is important. I was
this
using,
is important.
I was using my phone for YouTube toots.
Ah.
Which most good mechanics, I assume, would
they
use.
They do, yeah. Yes.
When you make modifications to your car, they go, yeah, I got it on YouTube. I'm pretty sure it's going
to
be
so
fine.
So it's a thing above my windscreen that I had to go back on. And you slap it back on. And I was looking up YouTube tutorials. And when I wasn't doing that, I was listening to music, sitting my phone next to me on my car. And so I got this part on. I was pretty proud of that. And I decided, well, let's go take it for a bit of a test drive. And I went towards the Port Allington Road. There's a 100 zone there. I thought, well, I can get a bit of speed up.
Because I remember you were telling me months ago when this part flew off, you were heading...
I was on the Hamilton Highway.
Going to Colac or something.
And I went past a truck.
And it went... and it flew off. So you had to test it at high speed.
Yes.
Had to test it at high speed.
So I thought, yeah, I'll test it at high speed. So I did that. Did a bit of a U-turn. All very safe, obviously.
Yep.
Was turning around. Went it through around a few corners and so on. And
I'm picturing Fast and the Furious. And Tokyo Drift.
I think slow and testing is the name of
Will's. And the whole
movie.
Time I was driving, I knew I had my phone with me because it was connected to my car.
Of course.
Right, through Bluetooth. And so I did all that. Took about 10 minutes, just a quick test drive, and it was all solid. I was so happy with my work. And I get out of the car, take out my keys, and I'm looking for my phone. And I'm looking around.
I do the pat.
I use my...
Oh, yeah, you've got the smartwatch.
The best feature on an Apple Watch, that is.
So I was using that to try and find my phone around the car.
Yeah.
And I couldn't I could sort of hear it, but I didn't know. Was it on the ground when I got out of the car? Is it in the passenger side? I was looking under the passenger seat, and I sort of glanced up as I was lying down on the passenger seat, and my eye line was level with the bonnet, and I could see right there my phone sitting on the bonnet. Like it had been the entire time
I was driving around
100 Ks down Port Arlington Road, did a U-turn, was turning around everywhere, and it just sat in the same spot the entire time.
I grabbed...
And was connected to Bluetooth.
I grabbed Will's phone, and his case is like that sticky... not sticky, it's that plastic like where...
Oh, like a silicon?
Yeah, like a silicon that sticks to
like
the bonnet.
Yeah, it's a plastic.
As soon as you feel it, you'll understand why it's stuck to the bonnet.
That would have stuck to the... 100%. That's very sturdy.
So now I know. I don't, and it would stop me. Well, not that I do.
And your car's like a very light blue. Like the black case of your phone would have been. It's just completely missed your eyesight.
Yeah,
it's so impressive.
To resist temptation from using my phone while driving or even glancing down, I can now sit it on my bonnet.
safe.
And it'll be incredibly safe.
How far do you think you drove? Like, how long were you out driving for?
It would have been 10
test?
Minutes.
10 minutes.
So I'm in Leopold. I would have driven sort of close to Moolap.
Oh, my God.
And come back around.
It's very impressive and super, super fortunate. What we thought would be fun is on 52232955, how far did you drive with your phone or maybe something else on your car?
My mum did it with a coffee cup once.
It stayed up perfect, or it spilled all the way?
I don't know. I think she lost it halfway home.
I swear I got an arm and flat.
She looked around. She was like, oh, God, yes. I put it on the roof of the car when I was trying to look for my keys, and then I just got in my car and drove away.
Well, that's what happens. You hear people losing their wallets that way, putting it on top, trying to get into their car. I think, let's go, can you beat Will? 10 minutes.
10 minutes
how
is a
long,
long time.
How long or how far did your phone or something survive
Thank
on
God
the roof of your
car? Just like fly off.
Because you would have known.
I can't believe it.
You would have known, but it would have been very confusing, I think, and almost impossible to find. If it did fly off, because your Bluetooth eventually would have disconnected.
It's find my phone.
Yeah.
Just doing the ding, ding, ding.
The most
tracked it down eventually.
The most relieving part when I got home, me and my roommate play a lot of darts. So yeah. I got a lot of dart scores saved on my phone.
Oh,
and stats.
Thank God.
And the most relieving thing, and he said, oh my God, the dart scores would have gone.
Oh, it's not a shared note. You can make sure you share the note so that they've got it as
I should
well.
Have to, I should do that.
To avoid tragedy like that.
Now
we'll,
I know.
We'll... So happy for you because that's a very expensive mistake. I'm not sure insurance covers that one. 5223295 How far did you drive with something on the roof of your car? Courtney from Lara.
You did something similar to Will, didn't you, Courtney?
Yeah, something a bit too similar. I went the Robe over the Australia Day long weekend.
Lovely.
And we were driving through the sand dunes, driving along the beach. And my Apple Watch said that my phone was not nearby. And I thought, something's weird. Maybe I've left it in the back of the car. And so we went for a bit of a four-wheel drive. We would have been driving for about a kilometre or so. And I've come back and I thought, oh, you know, I better grab it. I want to put some music on. Turns out it was on the back of my car the entire time we went through the dunes.
Oh, my
God. Here I was going, I'm going to spend the next bloody 4 hours sifting through sand trying to find my phone.
Oh, there's no way you would have found it, Courtney. Like, you just couldn't have.
Not a chance.
Wow, so lucky. It's just these Find My Phones and Find My Devices are really helpful, but it does make you think. Hannah's in Moorlap. Hannah, this happened to you as well. Tell us, what did you leave on the roof of your car and for how long?
I've left my wallet and my phone on a car.
Oh, my God, both?
At the same time?
At the same time, yes.
What? How did you let? How?
What? How? Why? How did this happen?
I was at a work site in Hyson, and I've left my phone and my wallet sitting on my fellow workmate's roof.
Well,
he's actually left the work site that I'm at to go to a different work site in Corio, and as he's driven off, I've realised, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I followed him across town and I found my phone on Pilkington's Bridge.
I was going to say, because you can't call him to say, hey, pull over, you've got my phone. Cause
exactly,
there's
no way
phone.
Of contacting him, yeah. When I finally caught up with him in Corio, my wallet was lodged in between the roof and his roof rack.
Oh, thank God.
50% of the things staying on the roof is a pretty good strike rate there, Hannah.
Bad.
So
that's
not too bad, mate. Appreciate your call. Jess, we've got Tiana from Mount Dunedin.
Yes, Tiana, you went on a bit of a road trip of sorts.
Yeah, so when I was younger, we went on a road trip up to Brisbane, and at the time, my younger brother was like a year old, and we had a Nissan Patrol, and what happened was my mum, in Sydney, we had lunch, and she popped the baby food down on like the step on the side of the Patrol. And 4 hours later, when we stopped for dinner, it was still there.
So you drove 4 hours with the baby food just hanging on for dear life on the side of the car.
4 hours. It hadn't actually moved, so it was in between the passenger door and the back door.
Oh, my God.
Just found a little nook and was like, well, I'm a little baby now. I'm going to stay here. Tiana, yeah, that is...
Did not move.
Interstate.
It was still there.
I like that.
Yeah.
Man, now, Jess, strap yourself in, and I'm going to introduce you to Deb from St. Albans Park. Deb, it wasn't how long something was on the roof of your car. It was what it was.
What did you do, Deb?
Me and was when my girls were heaps younger and we were backing out and drove down my street and cars were driving past and pointing at us. And I'm like, what's everyone doing? I don't know what you're doing.
People are waving you down, Deb?
Yes, waving at me. And I'm like telling them, what are you, you know, giving them greasies and...
Flipping them off.
Then we turned another corner and got to Christie's Road in Leopold, and a car turned around and their window was down. They said, your cat is on your roof.
Deb!
So we literally drove, and she literally balanced on the roof the whole time.
Oh, my God!
I literally just stopped there on the road, got out the car, and grabbed her and pulled her in the car. Me and the girls were nearly wet now.
The sight
actually
of
hysterical.
Like, it's poor little nails.
Hold it on for dear life.
Hooked on. Like a cartoon.
Asher, just clung on. I don't know how she clung on. I don't know how she stayed up there. Lucky I wasn't going fast. We would have been in trouble. Lucky I didn't get out onto the highway, I can tell you.
Oh, my God!
Okay.
Would have been a mess.
Yeah, I'd much prefer to lose my phone, wallet, keys and, you know, passport. And cat on the roof!
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Reba McEntire.
She's relevant. She's hot. It's like Taylor Swift, Reba McEntire. That's all anyone can talk about.
She sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And because when we were at the Sporting Globe, it was so loud, I couldn't hear it. And like she's standing
I missed
there.
That bit because I was only excited for Usher. But...
Yeah, and she's standing there with her hand on her heart and she's singing the national anthem. But my brain was like she was singing the theme song to Reba.
Yeah.
A single mom who works too hard. And I was like, this is great. Obviously, we all know why Reba's singing the national anthem.
Obviously. I walked into the Sporting Globe and you said, hey, Jess, who do you think sung the national anthem? And she was my first guest.
Yeah, because Reba is a current television show that definitely didn't air 20 years ago. She's making the news because she's breaking the internet for all the right reasons. I sent you a photo, Jess, of what it is. Mm-hmm. She posted a photo for her Super Bowl appearance.
I did see this. Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah. On the Brekkie show, they discussed this. It's completely changed the song for me. So there is a song by T-Pain and Flo Rida called Low. I'll play it now.
Mm-hmm.
The line that you're going to hear, the first line, is exactly what we want
to
discuss.
This song is the reason I have bad knees.
Okay, here we go. Apple bottom jeans and boots with the fur.
Yep.
The whole club was looking at her.
She looked fine.
Now,
she looked great.
Have we all pictured boots with the fur as like furry boots?
No.
Oh.
I interpreted boots with the fur as like UGG boots, like they had the fur on the inside.
Well, that's not what I mean.
Not like the fuzzy.
But you imagined
boot.
Wherever it was, the boots had the fur.
Yeah.
In the photo she posted, she said boots with the fur, and she's wearing cowgirl boots, but a furry jacket.
Oh, and boots with the fur.
I think we've misheard that lyric.
We need to
for 20 years.
T-Pain, Flo Rida, someone clear this
again,
up.
Again, let's have it. We'll have another. Quick listen, and now visualize it as a jacket.
Boots and a furry jacket.
Yes, all right.
Okay.
It makes way more literal sense.
Can I throw a spanner in the works? When did that song get released? Like early 2000s?
Nah, mid.
Mid-2000s.
2008, I'd say, maybe.
Right. Even. At that time, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, we didn't go out with fur coats. Like...
Oh, but in America, like, very popular cultural thing.
I disagree. Early 2000s,
okay, well,
no one would be caught dead.
It's not early 2000s.
Mid-2000s.
Mid to late. I guarantee you, in African-American culture, wearing big furry coats out to nightclubs was 100% a thing. Remember all of Kelly Rowland's music video clips.
Nobody would be caught dead wearing a jacket out to a nightclub. Like,
again, you're thinking of, like, Werribee and Blackburn nightclubs do not... T-Pain has lived a life outside of Southeast Melbourne.
What I'm telling you is it would be embarrassing. It would be embarrassing.
No,
you're
this is so ignorant. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
This is disgusting.
It
Shame
was like
on
you have
you.
To freeze and look good in that outfit. No. That's what it was.
Well, I don't know if you and T-Pain had similar upbringings, just personally. And I think that maybe we have all been listening to it, unless you and I are maybe part of a small group that were thinking that the furry boots, they were furry boots, not a fur jacket and just nice boots
my
underneath.
My whole life's been a lie.
Yeah. What's the point? We're going to play the whole song now. It's going to change the entire way you think about this song forever.
Just be careful about dropping low because your knees aren't what they used to be. Trust me.
Unless you have physio cream.
It's Tim and Jess. K-Rock 955.
Tim, international superstar Pink is down under at the moment doing some incredible shows.
When does she come to Melbourne? I know that we should
She's
know
in Sydney
that.
At the moment. I believe she's in Melbourne next week.
Okay.
Australia's
the place to be for big names at the moment.
Absolutely it is. The only problem is she tried to head out after a show the other day out in Manly and she tried to get into, I believe, some sort of yacht club. It was just...
In Manly?
Yeah.
Manly is like the Brighton of, Melbourne. It is very, very fancy.
Yeah, it's on the foreshore, this one. And she walked in and apparently she was denied entry because she didn't have her ID on her.
Right, because you know, I would assume normally for Pink, if she was denied entry, it's because she's trying to bring the trapeze in with her. And they're like, we can't accommodate that. So you can do flips across the room. She goes, no, 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 please, please, please. But yeah, so just not having, I guess if it's an establishment where you have to have ID.
I mean.
Doesn't matter how old you are. You've got to have your ID.
Do you think Pink's the kind of person that would like carry around her passport while she's out and about? Like,
yeah, true.
Surely some of her team would have had some identification.
I've got people for this. Like, why is this happening?
Guys, don't you know who I am? She'd made a booking. She'd put a deposit down. But apparently that wasn't even enough to get her in.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Did she put Pink on the booking and her ID says Alicia Moore?
I have no idea.
Because that's her real name. That shockingly, is Pink isn't her actual name. How old do you know? I'm sure we could find out from a quick bit of research.
How old Pink is?
How old Pink? Like, she'd be in her early 40s or so.
Like,
so
you would think.
She's getting carded maybe either just because that's the policy, or if you look under 25, they have to ask for your
she's
ID.
44.
44, so mid-40s.
I think it might be one of those venues that has to scan your ID.
Of course, she went to the RSL.
Of
that
course.
That makes so much sense. If you don't have your ID, you can't go to the
Apparently
RSL.
Apparently, she left without any fuss. She was like, I get it. That's fine. I'll head off. We'll find somewhere else.
Yep.
She's Pink. She doesn't care that she's made deposits.
By the way, take my songs out of your jukebox. Yeah. You're dead to me.
Forget my name. Forget my number.
Yes. I'm Taylor Swift and I'm making a scene.
I thought, like, this happens quite a fair bit, right? To a lot of people. You don't have to be a big celebrity.
My wife's, like, what's that thing? Like the red flag or toxic trait?
Yeah.
She never has her ID with her.
Yeah.
And like, we'll go, like, even if it's something as small as going to the Bottle-O or trying to go in somewhere. And they'll be like, do both of you have ID? And I've always got my ID.
Your wife does look notoriously like 22 always. Like, how, I don't know how she does it. She's like nearly 30 and she looks 22.
And then, so now we have to do this thing. And it looks sus, but it isn't. Where I'll be like, well, you can't come into the Bottle-O. You go wait out the front. Like, she's giving like me money and she's 16. And I'm going into, can I have one vodka, please, sir? The finest of your establishment.
Throw in the passion pop as well, thanks. Nothing but the best for my wife.
52232955. Let's find people at certain age, like the oldest person still getting checked for ID.
Yeah.
Do you just look young and you're still constantly getting checked?
Last time I went to Crown Casino.
Huge.
I got checked for ID.
I think they have to at the casino.
Oh, I got really excited. I was like, do you wanna? Okay.
And he's like, for law? Yes.
I thought it's just because I looked young and fun.
No. You know how there's a line that everyone gets in to go
Damn
into Crown?
It. Yeah. You've just burst that bubble for
I mean,
me.
No, maybe it was energy and vibe, young vibes.
It's because I look so youthful.
Yeah. It's only been recently that I've stopped getting ID checked. And initially it's
Could
like-
Could it be
it's
the so, extra grey hairs?
It's so, initially you're like, it's so annoying.
Lack of haircut.
And then-
Lack of sleep.
You want to go? I've been up since 4 and I'm ready to fight.
4 a.m.?
Yeah, and I chose to get up at 4. I wanted to, I went into my baby's room and I woke him up and said, let's play. It's my choice, not yours. This is how it feels. Sorry, you've got me.
Hasn't aged you a bit. It hasn't.
52232955. How old are you? And he's still getting checked for ID. Let's see if we can, like, let's go 30.
Yeah.
30 is the minimum. We won't count Pink because she's too famous. Are you older than 30 and you still get checked for your ID? Lisa's giving us a call listening from Melbourne. Lisa, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, look, I tell you what, we're all feeling very young just listening to this.
Yeah.
Pink's 44, international superstar, getting turned away because she doesn't have ID.
But Lisa, your sister is kind of cheating
I
the
have
system.
She is, and it plays a little bit with my integrity, but my sister is 38 years old and gets in as a concession holder for a lot of things. Like last year, we went to the zoo, Melbourne Zoo, with some English relatives. And kids under 15 get in for free. And she got in for free. They thought she was under 15 years old.
So did they make her, like, present some identification? Because, like,
so
we've all done the thing, like, when you use your university ID for a few more years after you leave uni. Like, we've all done that. But 38.
She stood there next to my parents and puts this look on her face like, I'm little and I'm shy. So she stands there. And they say to her, oh, how? And my mum asks, you know, two adults and one concession. And they turn to her every time and they say, oh, how old are you? And she goes, I'm 14, with a really, like, childlike voice. And then they say, oh, no problem. You're in for free today. And they give her a ticket.
Stunning. For free. 14 in 9 months, actually.
Yeah, I can get a job. Lisa, it's what I imagine, what could be double cover. Because if someone's going to question you that, if you just have like a bag of texters, like every child does, like a see-through glad wrap bag of texters, that's ID there. Because I remember very similarly, but it never worked. I remember going to the V8 supercars at Phillip Island and kids under 12 went free. And I was 15 and my dad turns to me, my best mate, and he goes, "You're 10. And I've got a mustache. So, and mate, we couldn't even get away with it. But your sister's 38 and she is.
You've never been 38. Been to Smorgies until your parents have said to you, "You're under 12. Stick with the plan."
I mean,
well, more than 15 years later, she's still getting away with it.
I was going to say, Lisa, if Smorgies ever gets up and running again, you'll be the first two people through the door.
It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
I know we've been talking a lot about my wedding, but don't worry, it's going to be over very soon because we're just 31 days away from the big night.
Why do you say it like, "Don't worry, it'll be over soon"?
Because I know some people might be sick of hearing me talk about it, but I am not sick of talking about it
yet. You only get married once. Mm-hmm. Again, it's kind of like how I was asking yesterday. Like, everyone's talking about the build-up to Taylor Swift. Maybe people are sick of it, but like after it, like, what are you going to talk about? After Taylor Swift and your wedding, Jess, I'm worried you won't have anything left to say.
Same. Genuinely, my radio career may be over.
Okay.
No, I'm very, very excited, looking forward to the day, but I'm getting down to those last few moments of planning that I'm calling the worst part of wedding planning.
I thought you were pretty chill until, I think it was today, I heard you yelling at the DJ, "If that's what you're going to wear, don't effing come." And I was like, ooh. Has he paid you yet?
Did you hear what he was describing, though?
Yeah, but you know that he was messing with you. Because it's a tuxedo style for the blokes.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I thought when I heard "don't effing come," I thought maybe Jess is starting to lose a grip on this thing.
I'm starting to snap because the last two nights, me and my fiance Akshay have been sitting down in front of the computer screen, and I feel like every couple...
spreadsheets, all that
every
stuff.
Every couple goes through this moment, the seating chart.
Right.
It's breaking me. It's tearing me down.
Do you have long straight tables, circle tables?
We are going for it. So we've got like a long head table with the...
Quick. I was going to say, you've got a table where everyone looks at you, right?
Yes.
I assumed. I'm sorry, but I assumed.
I didn't want to do that because I know how much of an introvert my partner is. And he...
Everyone just looking.
Actually, he's like, "I don't want everyone looking at us." And then we got to the walkthrough of our venue and he was like, "Where's the head table going to be?" What do you mean? You said you didn't want anyone looking at you.
The king of the castle.
He changed his mind immediately. He wanted everyone looking at him. So we're doing the head table. But with that comes its problems because a lot of our bridal party have partners. So we've got the random table of partners that won't be sitting at the head table.
Oh, they're not. Because I've been to a wedding where my wife was maid of honor and I was promoted.
Oh.
To the head table.
You got sat at the head
table. So it was all of the groomsmen and bridesmaids and their partners.
But see, I have five bridesmaids and five groomsmen. So if I have everyone's partners, there's going to be like 20 people.
Yeah, that's a big head table.
It's a very big head table. So I've relegated those guys. Yeah. Sorry, you're out. And then it's just been like a nightmare having to... And I made the mistake of calling my mum and being like, "What do you think of what I've got?" "Oh, you can't have that person sit with that person. We've got to put them on this table." Yeah. She changed my whole thing. I've spent hours working on a seating chart and she changed the whole thing in like 20 seconds.
Just control Z. Undo, 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 undo.
I'm calling it. Seating charts are the worst part of wedding planning. I almost changed my mind and made the wedding a cocktail, like, standing affair. Because
I
wouldn't have to seat anyone.
All you bastards can stand and watch me sit down for 3 hours. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you. Bring your own chair. Camping chairs is what everyone has to bring.
I don't want
to
hear on the night, I didn't want to sit next to this person. Shut up.
I'll guarantee you.
You get sat where you're sat.
As someone who has had a wedding and planned, I didn't, like, seating chart, I was like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We didn't mind. On the day, you're not going to think about it. The day after, you'll never think about it again.
Okay, good.
Maybe next week, after it's organised, you'll never think about it again. Because you're not going to care if Bob is sitting next to Warwick and Mel is sitting next to Sam because you're going to be getting photos, you're going to be drinking, you're going to be having the best day of your life. If you're listening right now and you're worried about a seating chart, make them all sit on the ground. You won't remember it. You won't care. In 2 years, you won't care.
I did not see this happening. I didn't see you making me immediately feel better about this.
Well, if it stops you complaining about your wedding, it's like a Band-Aid. Rip it off. One compliment to save many insults is how I'm looking at this.
I'm going to put you back on the good table.
I don't want to sit there.
It's Tim and Jess, K-Rock 955.
Maybe you can set aside time in your week if you're listening and do this. It helps you, friendships, relationships, working relationships.
It's kept our friendship alive for nearly 8 years, Tim.
Yeah, we work together still. we definitely do. Says it on the name of the show, Tim and Jess. Still. We should change it to still Tim and Jess.
Still here.
Somehow. Still Tim and Jess.
Tim and Jess. Sorry.
Somehow still. Sorry again. Tim and Jess.
But it's because every Thursday we don't put our differences aside.
No.
In fact, we throw them at one another in the courtroom of Tim and Jess.
Tim and Jess. You are about to enter the K-Rock courtroom of Tim and Jess. The cases are real. The stories aren't always important. The rulings are final. This is your courtroom. You be the judge.
Court is in session. The way this works is the first person to call through and tell us who's right or wrong in whatever we're disagreeing about. They're the judge, and it becomes law across Geelong, Surf Coast, and the Bellarine. First person to call through, they're the judge on 52232955.
Tim, I've been sitting on this one since Monday. I didn't have a go at you. We were at Super Bowl Monday at the Sporting Globe, hanging out, just a whole bunch of mates, work colleagues, work acquaintances.
Yep. Somehow still.
Somehow still. And you reached for a boneless chicken piece, and you said we all double dipping. We double dippers.
Because I thought we're all so close together. What, like in a general setting, absolutely no double dipping. But as we said, Jess, I've known you for almost 8 years.
Yeah.
I would love to double dip with you.
Gross.
But when you reacted and you said absolutely not, I was like, all right, I just wanted to clarify. So I didn't double dip. I wanted to.
It's etiquette. It's etiquette. It doesn't matter who you're with, you don't double dip.
Okay. Is it
double? I don't even double dip with my fiance.
What? That's a lie. What, you put worse things in your mouth than
how
with
dare
him.
You? How dare you say that on the radio?
How about, so say it's like, let's go a chicken tender.
Yeah.
I dip it in one end.
Mm-hmm.
I bite. Can I dip the other end because that hasn't had my mouth on it?
Yes, that's not technically double dipping. If you were to dip the same end that you put in your mouth, that's double dipping.
That's DD. For sure.
That's a double dip.
I just thought, you know, close friends double dip. Family members, friends.
Not one person at the table agreed with you. Everyone was like, don't you dare double dip. And in fact, I believe we all ordered separate meals after that because no one trusted you.
I just wanted to double dip with some friends. I don't think there's anything wrong with a bit of D&D at work.
Well, let's find out.
Well, firstly, I feel like the first thing that people would think of Dungeons & Dragons. So get your head out of the gutter. That's what I've been talking about this whole time.
52232955. When you're amongst friends or colleagues, can you double dip?
What I find interesting is like you know you're the resident grot of the show.
I am not the resident grot of the show.
Jess, did I or did I not have to complain 3 times because you were watching a video of chicken and cheese and you were going, oh, put that in me. Oh, yeah.
You look at beautiful melted cheese and chicken being dipped in it and try and not make those noises. I dare you.
That's a long version of a yes as an answer, but I can't believe you wouldn't double dip that chicken. I after you said no, I was like, mm-hmm. I respect the system. I thought we were there as friends. I thought we were there. You didn't want to double dip.
It doesn't matter what I have to say or what you have to say. The only opinion that matters today is the opinion of our judge. Today, that is Travis from Teesdale. Good afternoon, Travis.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you going?
Your Honour, so happy to have you here on the show. We respect your final verdict. It will become law across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine.
What's your favourite dipping sauce, Travis? Are you a gravy man, a tomato sauce man?
Cool Ranch?
Mayo?
Well, look, if it's depending on what I'm having, if it's like chicken nuggets, it's definitely a sweet and sour.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
But with chips and that, yeah, gravy. Definitely gravy.
Yeah.
This is very unpopular. I like dipping chicken nuggets in mustard. I don't know why.
Oh, see, I dip my chicken nuggets in mayonnaise.
I don't like the face you've just given me when you said that. It was way too sexual for $3.50. Your Honor,
don't have
sorry.
Me talking about chicken nuggets.
Your Honor, with close friends, I think is what. Like, I'm never going to DD with strangers. You know, double dip. How would you?
All right, Queen of England.
Do you think double dipping amongst close friends is that okay?
I'm going to say no.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because it's the gross factor, Travis. Like, I don't want to, like, I don't want Tim's saliva anywhere near any of my mayonnaise.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm going to say no. It's. I mean, yeah, I know you got your close friends, maybe your partner, but you start branching out with friends, I'd probably say no. Just keep it to a no, and that way everyone's comfortable.
It's just a blanket rule.
I know, Your Honor, I respect your verdict, and we'll get to the gavel in a second, but I think collectively we can all agree that we're shocked that Jess doesn't want to double dip because she is an absolutely sticky
Travis,
monster.
You don't think of me as the grot of the show, do you?
Not at all.
Thank
Not
you.
At all.
See? Okay. See, Tim? The people have spoken.
The person has said.
The only opinion that matters is that
yes,
of our judge.
The gavel is down. Travis, Your Honor, thank you very much. There you go, folks. No double dipping. What's the point of living?
Goodbye. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Tim and Jess. It's K-Rock 955's Tim and Jess.